It's not difficult to donate a little to RNIB. In fact, it's as easy as treating yourself to the latest CD, digital device, or Amazon Echo. Raise money for RNIB whilst you shop at Amazon. Amazon Smile is a simple and automatic way for you to support RNIB every time you shop, at no cost to you. When you next sign in to Amazon, use the address www.smile.amazon.co.uk and nominate RNIB as your charity of choice. The web page looks exactly like amazon.co.uk and it remembers all of your login details, order history, wish lists, wedding lists, etc. But importantly, RNIB will receive 0.5% of the net sale of most goods that you can buy on the site. It's that easy to donate. Tell your friends and family how simple it is to donate to RNIB every time you shop on Amazon, simply by using www.smile.amazon.co.uk. Treat yourself on Amazon and support your favourite charity while you shop.
Downloading 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people.
Hello, welcome to a special episode of Tech Talk, your technology show, coming to you from the Westfield Shopping Centre here in London. Now, you might think I'm just here to sample the latest technology and spend more of the mortgage money on gadgets and gizmos. Well, you're partly right. In fact, I'm here because I thought I'd pop along and test out the latest gadget from RNIB. It's called RNIB in Your Pocket. And over the next hour, you'll find out what that is, how the partnership came about to create it, and why you might want to consider getting one if you want easier access to newspapers, books, and podcasts. Now, if you're wondering what happened to Sean, Tim, and Lydia this week, well, don't worry. I've made sure they've been tasked with plenty of work for next week's show, so they're keeping nice and busy. Well, Tim and Lydia are anyway. Now, you stay tuned for all the news coming up this hour on our special episode of Tech Talk. So I guess to kick things off, we should probably find out exactly what we are talking about here. RNIB in Your Pocket is the latest device from the charity, coming 2 years after its initial release. There's lots of new features to talk about, so let's meet the guy in charge of the company who have developed the technology.
So I'm Nick Howden, and I'm the CEO of Real Thing.
Well, we're finally here, Nick. I finally had the chance to meet you in person. And what better occasion than at the launch of RNIB in Your Pocket? You must be happy today.
I'm very happy and very excited. We're extremely pleased by the turnout here. We've had lots of interest and lots of excitement, and we're very excited about it. So yeah, and fabulous to meet you too.
Well, it is lovely to meet you. Tell us, for those who haven't been made aware of it yet, what RNIB in Your Pocket is.
So it's essentially a small mobile device that allows you to access a huge range of media content, books, podcasts, magazines, newspapers, and it is now, and in fact one of the things we're launching today is that it now also has phone functionality. So it allows you to make calls, manage your contacts, call for assistance, a number of other features that it has that use, you know, the phone functionality as well. So, and again, all of that is accessed using very simple spoken interactions.
This is the second version of In Your Pocket. There was a version out before, very popular, of course, which led to, I guess, the renewal of this product and a refresh of it. Tell us a bit more about those new features that you're talking about. So calling, for example, does that mean that you can now ditch the phone that you've got and just use RNIB in Your Pocket?
Absolutely. That's the idea. The feedback we had from people who had the first version that was just a media device said, well, I'm carrying a phone and I'm carrying In Your Pocket. Why can't I make calls with In Your Pocket? So We've now gone and invested some more development time and basically implemented some phone dialogue, and it's all very simple stuff. It allows you to say things like, you know, call Nick or add a contact for Stephen, and you just say the numbers, and everything's done through the same sort of simple interface. The package, the other great thing that we've been able to do is actually incorporate that into the In Your Pocket package at the same price point. So now you've got all of the media, you've got all of the contacts, you've got all of the books and so on, and you can now make calls, etc., at exactly the same price point that we've previously listed.
Right, so if you were paying for it before and you wanted to upgrade to the new one, you're not going to pay any more money for it.
Exactly, that's exactly right. So we will actually be upgrading people who have previously purchased, so they will continue on the £20 a month plan, and they will be able to make phone calls and so on as well, so, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, the content is something which I guess surprises people because there's so much of it available, and in such a simple way. You just speak to this device and it speaks back to you with an understandable response. It's not a case of you have to come up with some special code or, you know, come up with a password. You just say, look, I want to read a book by Michael Palin, and suddenly it goes off and reads you a book by Michael Palin.
Exactly, yeah, look, that's exactly the feedback we get from people, is that it's not about waiting for things to be posted to you or getting to a computer and downloading them. It's all totally instant on-demand access. As you've mentioned, it's got all of the RNIB library talking books. It's got the whole RNIB newsagent service, which has a couple of hundred newspapers and magazines. So a huge range of content there. And one of the other things we're announcing today at the launch event is we've got some more content providers on board. So we've got the Calibre Audio Library, which adds some more books. And we've also got Torch Trust, which distributes Christian books and magazines for people who are interested in that content. So the goal is to add a huge range of content to it, such that you can have on-demand access to, you know, all of the content that you could possibly want.
And is this something you'll continue to develop? I mean, this technology now that we tend to buy, often it's the case that we buy, say, a phone, and that phone gets updates as it goes along and it adds new features to it. Is that what you're doing with RNIB In Your Pocket?
That's exactly what we're doing, yeah. So basically the platform is such that we can push out new updates with these new features. So the phone features are one of those. Over the next couple of weeks, users will turn on their device and it'll say, there's an update available, give me a minute while I download. It'll download it, upgrade itself, and then all of a sudden they'll have those new features. So, and we will continue to do that, continue to develop and enhance new features. So, yeah, that's one of the very exciting things about it, is we can keep adding stuff and leave no one behind with a kind of an old version that doesn't do it.
Now, we are talking about this as RNIB In Your Pocket, which almost makes it sound like it's a device for blind people. Actually, anybody could buy this. Anyone could access this content and use it in a way that would suit them. I mean, I think about drivers who might want to catch up on the news or catch up on a talking book. Obviously, they can't touch the device while they're driving. This sounds like an ideal option there. Are you branching out?
We are absolutely looking at that, yes. I mean, here we're very focused on the blind and low vision community. That's where we've started, and that's what we've been working with RNIB on, and we will continue to do so. But yes, we're absolutely talking to other people about, you know, why wouldn't you want a voice-controlled smartphone that is kind of a step above what Siri can do, what, you know, Google Home and Alexa and those sorts of other interactive tools can do. So, yeah, that's, you know, things are under discussion, and we hope to make some announcements later in the year about those things. So
yeah, fantastic. I mean, talking of those devices, I mean, Siri, I don't know about you, but Siri I have endless issues with, doesn't understand, or I get hang on a minute and all this nonsense. Having played with RNIB In Your Pocket, it just seems to respond. Is that partly because, and I know it does work in the mobile network, but is that partly down to the software you've written, that you've just spent more time on it, that you've focused on those interactions because you know how important they are for the end user here?
Yes, absolutely. Look, the underlying In Your Pocket, the simplicity of it really belies what goes on under the hood. Underneath it, there is an artificial intelligence engine and a whole conversational engine that builds on about 20 years of R&D work that came out of the military and aerospace domains. And what that does is it allows you to have complex multi-step interactions, so you can say multiple things and work your way through a conversation. You can do things like have an aside, so I can be reading the newspaper, I can check the weather, and then I can go back to reading the newspaper and it doesn't lose a beat. And those sorts of things can't be handled by any of those other products we've mentioned, things like Siri, things like Alexa, you know, Google Home. You know, they're very kind of goldfish-like. You know, if I'm doing something, and you know, a common issue with those is I'm trying to send a text and it hears me say something about email, and all of a sudden I'm doing an email and it's totally forgotten about the text I was sending, and I go, no, I was sending a text, and it says, oh, you want to send a text? I go, yeah, okay, we'll start again. And that's you know, how they operate. Whereas In Your Pocket has a conversational thread. It can have multiple conversational threads, in fact, that it maintains over time, and it'll prompt you and say, okay, we've finished doing that. Do you want to go back to reading your book that we were doing, you know, 10 minutes ago? And you can then just go, yes, please continue. And off you go back to your book. So that when you use it and you experience that, you start to see that, that there's actually a lot behind the simplicity of the experience that people have.
Okay, well, I wish you all the best with it, and do keep us updated, as I know you will, but keep us updated on the new features so we can tell people about them.
Fantastic, I will. Thanks very much, Stephen.
Thanks, Nick. Okay, so I've just wandered over to meet Paul Porter from RNIB, who is here, one of RNIB's technology officers. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Stephen.
Now, you have had a chance to play with RNIB in your pocket. Do you own RNIB in your pocket? Is this yours? I see it around your neck.
I have one for demonstration purposes. I've been involved with it from quite near the beginning when it was a sort of prototype. And for me, I think it's a game changer for myself and for customers, because it is a device that you simply talk to. There's no learning gestures, there's no menus. It's simply done by talking to the device and using your own voice, and in a sense using your own words too.
And that's the key thing about it, isn't it? That you can just talk to it and it will respond to you in a very normal human way, which is fantastic for us as blind people, because we don't want to have to try and get somebody else to tell us what does the screen say now. We don't want any of that. We want to live independently, and this lets us do it.
Absolutely. It gives you independence, literally at the press of a button, because it's got a button. You press and speak your command, and then it responds to you. But I've been dealing with mobile phones, accessible mobile phones, you know, when they first came out about 18 years ago. And the question has always been, if someone has an iPhone or an Android device, I want to be able to talk to my phone. I don't want to have to use gestures or, you know, plug something else into it to make it work.
Or the fiddly keyboard or
exactly.
Any of that stuff. Yeah.
And, you know, phones do that to an extent. You've got Google Assistant, you've got Siri on iPhone and so on. And it could do some of this with these voice control systems, but you can't, for example, add a contact. You can't edit the contact. You've still got to do that by interacting with the touchscreen. And In Your Pocket gives you now that capability to be able to do that. So I can set up a contact by voice. I can add a new one. I can edit a contact. I can delete it. Everything I want to do is done by voice. And in addition to that, In Your Pocket started off as a media device. So you've got access to something like 26,000 talking books. You've got access to the RNIB newsagent newspapers and magazine service with daily, weekly and monthly newspapers and magazines. You've got it will tell you where you are in terms of street name and city, and it also gives you the weather. And when I first was introduced to it, I thought, okay, I'm gonna catch it out. So I said to it, okay, In Your Pocket, what's the weather in Echelfechen, which is a little village in the border somewhere, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And blow me, it actually got it right.
Wow.
It said the weather in Echelfechen is going to be 4 degrees, whatever it was.
Cold and rainy, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I've tried to catch it out in terms of finding books. So I said to it, you know, find me books about Lake Titicaca, which I think is in Peru, if I'm not mistaken, or certainly South America somewhere. And again, it came back with some books on Lake Titicaca. So, you know, it's very good at understanding what you want, even if you have a fairly strong accent like myself. So it really takes voice activation, voice recognition to a completely new level, and I'm really excited about the future, because it does mean that you'll be able to get one of these devices and start using it straight away, add all your contacts, dial your contacts, but, you know, listen to podcasts, newspapers and magazines, and who knows, you know, where the future is going to lie with such a device.
You talk to a lot of customers who get in touch with the Technology for Life team. What are they saying about the device? What's the feedback been? They
absolutely love it, because I had a chap who bought one, and his comment was, you know, for the first time in 20 years, I've been able to read a daily newspaper.
That's huge, isn't it?
And it is, and it's not just about reading it from beginning to end. You can read it, but you can ask it about different articles. You can search by keyword, you can move by section. So it gives you that control that you would have if you were physically reading a newspaper.
Mm. Well, it's exciting stuff. I look forward to hearing more about it from you. And for people who are maybe curious about this, Paul, at this point, it might be good to give them your number. Not your, obviously, your own mobile number, but the Technology for Life team number, so that they can get in touch with you to ask more questions directly.
Absolutely. So you can contact the Technology for Life team about In Your Pocket or anything else technology related via the RNIB helpline, and the number is 0303 123 9999.
Brilliant. Thanks, Paul.
Cheers, Stephen.
Now, there's no show without Punch. Robin Spinks is here from RNIB. Of course you're here. Why wouldn't you be here, Robin? How are you?
Very good, thanks, Stephen. Yeah, happy to be here. Delighted, in fact, after a long time in the planning and the making, to get here for the launch of RNIB In Your Pocket. Fantastic.
So how did this all come about? I mean, let's go back a bit in time to how this relationship with Real Things started and to where we are today.
Well, I guess if we trace it back to its origins, we used to run a whole month of technology, intense technology events around the country. And over a period of a number of years, we basically heard a continued request from customers for a super simple, super easy to use device that they could consume content on. And at the point when it was possible to make it happen, we were lucky enough to be in touch with Real Thing and also to be in conversation with O2, who we've been working with for the last year or so, working up to partnering. And we were able to bring together the connectivity that O2 offers from their network with the great technology that Real Thing have developed in the form of an AI-driven, artificial intelligence-driven voice-based media system. So effectively what it can do is it can allow you to ask it a question by pressing one button, and it will deliver what you've asked for. So read me The Guardian. It will talk you through the articles. Read me my book. You can ask it to speed up, slow down. A whole bunch of content you can consume. And it really would be great to do a specific piece at some point on In Your Pocket as a device and as a service, and to talk to some of the users. So that's how it came about. And today, essentially, we're marking the official launch of the product, and we're also celebrating, I should mention, in there, Doro. So we partner with Doro as well to do the hardware. So we've got In Your Pocket software, AI-driven assistant, the Doro phone, the O2 connectivity, and we've got the RNIB brand on it and the connection with our community. So hopefully what we've put together is a very easy to use, you know, class leading experience that is simple, straightforward, intuitive, doesn't allow you to get lost, and it can enable you to start enjoying and rediscovering the newspapers, publications, radio content, all of the things that people tell us that they love and that can become much more difficult to access following sight loss.
And obviously the kind of technology that we're seeing nowadays allows a lot of this to happen. We're actually, in some respects, very lucky that we live in a time that we do, because this technology is now here. We probably couldn't have done this 10 years ago. We could have imagined it, perhaps, but never really been able to deliver it.
I think that's absolutely true. You know, it's a coming together of a whole bunch of different technologies with connectivity, with the product, and bringing those things into a seamless bundle and making sure that they can be made available to customers in an easy-to-use form, where there's not a big learning curve, and actually where it's possible for you to pick it up bit by bit each day. And build upon your experiences. So timing has been crucial. We're really happy to finally have it to market, and we can't wait to hear how people respond to it when they get a chance to try it out.
I mean, what can we imagine when we think about 5G coming at some point? And I know you've been quite vocal about this. You've been learning quite a lot about how 5G can benefit. You know, some of us just consider it an upgrade, but it's a lot more than that, isn't it?
5G and the rollout of 5G will be a fundamental step change in connectivity for every citizen, including people with disabilities. I think people with vision loss and other disabilities stand to be among the biggest beneficiary group, because it will enable a whole lot of experiences that aren't currently possible. So, you know, think about the combo of super fast broadband that you perhaps might be lucky enough to have in your house. Imagine having that on your mobile phone, but even faster, and being able to use that to control smart home devices. We're not talking high-tech, expensive gear here. Some of this is really simple. We're talking about devices that might be £5, £6, or £7, up to, you know, voice-controlled devices that are tens of pounds and beyond. But the cost barrier is really reducing significantly. So think about controlling the Internet of Things. We often call it the IoT, and that means devices that have an internet connection and that are connected. So we can enable a whole host of experiences in home, from controlling lights and thermostats, all of which we can do now, but we can do that much faster. But we can also deliver healthcare services, autonomous vehicles, transport systems, you know, you name it. The way in which 5G will transform people's lives as it rolls out will be quite staggering. There's a fantastic report that O2 actually launched last week, where their CEO Mark Evans talks about the benefits of 5G connectivity for our economy, but also for our society. And it's one that we are following very closely, and we're really trying to make sure that as these technologies develop and as they're rolled out, there isn't a lag in blind and partially sighted people being able to benefit from them. We want them to benefit at the outset, as soon as they're launched. So super excited about that. And I think what you'll see happen is a whole raft of services, innovations, products and services that will spill out of 5G as a result, as a consequence of 5G becoming available. And at the end of the day, it's all about enabling people to collaborate and enabling people to make their lives better and richer and more meaningful through technology, which we know happens today. But the pace of change, the pace of the technology, and the level of connectivity and the increases in those areas are going to make all of that much more possible, much more quickly.
So for those people out there listening who think, I see all this development going on with all the big companies involved, what's RNIB doing about it? Are they involved? Are they in touch? Are they doing anything about it? What you're saying is RNIB is very much on the ball.
We see ourselves as a change agent and as a catalyst, working with companies like O2 and Samsung and Amazon and Microsoft and Google and loads more. Sometimes we cannot talk about the work because, as many people may know, commercial confidentiality agreements stop us from talking about work publicly. So it's very possible that someone may be asking us, what are we doing in a given field? And, you know, a commercial non-disclosure agreement prevents us from talking about that work until the job is done. One of the recent kind of cases of that would be the work with Samsung that we've done on virtual reality and also in TV space. You know, we've not been able to talk about that while the job has been underway, but as the work comes to conclusion and products begin to appear in stores and online, you know, we can share that story with people and make sure that they know how they can benefit from it if they wish to.
Brilliant. Well, you know, continue doing what you do. You do a great job, Robin. The most well-known visually impaired person on Earth, I think that's fair to say.
I thought that was you, Stephen.
Close second.
We'll call it a tie.
Robin, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. It's a pleasure.
Now, I think this would be a good time to get our hands on the device. Blind author and host of RNIB Connect Radio's Read On programme sat down with Nick Howden, who you heard from earlier, to take the device on a bit of a test drive.
So, before we get started, could you hand me the device and I'll describe it for the listeners?
There you go.
Okay, so it feels like an ordinary smartphone. It's about 15 centimetres tall by about 6 or 7 centimetres wide and about as thick as your average bar of chocolate. It's got three buttons along the bottom, all of which feel quite chunky and tactile. And I'm guessing I press one of those to activate it, Nick.
That's exactly right. You can give it a go.
Hello.
Hello to you too. I love hearing your voice.
I think I could get to like this, Nick. So, tell me a little bit more about the device and who it's aimed at and what its key features are.
Sure. So, this was developed really to be as easy to use as possible. So totally accessible. It can be driven without any vision at all. It's totally speech driven and audio feedback. And it provides access to the whole of the RNIB talking book catalogue. So all of the books in the library, as well as all of the newsagent newspapers and magazines, and a range of other media such as all of the BBC podcasts and podcasts from around the world. And has a number of other features such as telling you the weather, giving you location. And in March, we will actually be releasing a new version that allows you also to make phone calls.
Brilliant. Okay, so it is a very smart smartphone devised with people with complete sight loss and partial sight loss in mind.
Exactly, yep. So it's designed to be used without any vision, but obviously can be used by people with low vision also. And the key is really around the simplicity of use and the ease of access. So there's no computers involved. You don't need to download and copy files across or do anything. You just pick it up wherever you are and you read the newspaper or you read the book and off you go.
Great. Well, if you can help me get started then. So I've picked it up. It's got three buttons along the bottom. Do I press the middle one?
So, yeah, all three of those buttons are what we call the talk button. They're, as you described, fairly chunky. You just click any one of those. You wait for the tone and then you ask for what you want. So if you wanted to read a newspaper, you could just say, read me The Guardian.
Okay, well, I'm doing some homework at the moment on a book, so I will ask for that, the talking book version of that. Do I need to say talking book or does it just go automatically to the library?
If you want a book, you can say find books and then you can say find books titled A Christmas Carol or find books by Charles Dickens or find books about sailing. You can also combine all of those things such as find books by Charles Dickens titled A Christmas Carol or something like that. But find books is really one of the key words if you're after browsing the book catalogue.
Okay, let's give it a go. Find books by Patrick Gale.
RNIB Library, books by Patrick Gale. Last five books, 1. Little Bits of Baby by Patrick Gale, 2. Notes from an Exhibition by Patrick Gale, 3.
2.
Fine. Notes from an Exhibition by Patrick Gale. Say, yes, at any time to begin reading this book. This is the synopsis.
Yes.
Gifted artist Rachel Kelly is a whirlwind of...
Yes.
Now reading. Notes from an Exhibition, Section 1. 0% into the book. Notes from an Exhibition by Patrick Gale.
So stop.
There's also a quick pause if you just want to hold down one of those talk buttons until you hear a little chick sound. That's a quick way just to totally pause the device.
Fantastic. Well, that's a lot easier than struggling with overdrive and very little sight and eye-hand coordination. That summed up a book probably 10 minutes more quickly than I would normally have done. So that's brilliant. If I want to skip to chapter 6, because I was listening to it through overdrive and I lost patience, could I just say skip to chapter 6?
Yes, you could just say go to chapter 6. The only issue we have is that we call them sections. You can say chapter, but they may not correspond to the actual chapter number.
Go to section 6.
Great. Moving on. Section 6. 0% into the book. This is a Daisy recording and has two levels of navigation.
So if you pause that, hold it down. what that's done is the sections are numbered from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and there's actually lots of sections. Often there's the copyright and the intro and the title and all this sort of stuff. That's why I was saying, so chapter 6 may in fact be section 10 or 11 or something like that.
And if I get distracted and miss a paragraph or two, can I rewind by 30 seconds or fast forward by 30 seconds if it gets a bit scary and I don't want to listen to what's going on?
Yes, you can jump backwards or forwards by minutes. So mm-hmm. you can say jump backwards 3 minutes or jump forwards 5 minutes. We can't do less than a minute at the moment, but that's something we're looking at.
Well, that's absolutely fine, because one of the problems with some of the MP3 players that we have is that you can only jump backwards or forwards by an entire chapter, which if it's a book by James Joyce can be quite a lot of rereading. Well, that's fantastic. And as you say, it also gives me access to RNIB newsagent. So if I want to listen to a Guardian review of a new book, then I can clearly do that as well. And all that is rolled into a monthly charge, I believe, for the device.
That's correct, yep. So basically it's £20 a month, which covers the cost of the device, all of the services, access to all of the services, as well as an O2 mobile service, which gives you 3 gigabytes of downloads, and also now from March, unlimited calls within the UK.
Gosh, that's good. When you say unlimited downloads, one of the problems I've found with the smartphone that I have is that it's got a tiny amount of memory. So actually, it very quickly clogs up if you've downloaded 2 or 3 books to listen to. Does this have a large memory, or is it easy to empty the cache when you want to download something new?
So the way this works is you don't need to worry about the onboard memory at all. It streams all of the content, and it caches them locally. And if it starts running out of memory, it'll just start removing older things that you haven't been listening to for a while without you having to worry about it at all. So that you never have to worry about memory or those sorts of things, which is part of that design of simplicity, total simplicity. You don't need to worry about the hardware or storage or memory or any of those things. You just choose the book you want and begin listening.
Brilliant. So we don't actually have to return the book to the library at the end of listening to it.
That's correct. Yep. It just streams it directly from the library, and then we'll eventually remove it from the device once it needs memory in future.
Fantastic. And if I'm listening to a book on the London Underground, where obviously there is no internet access, it will have streamed enough in advance to take me on, what, a half-hour journey or something without cutting out halfway through?
It streams a certain amount ahead. It's generally about 10 minutes, something like that, ahead. So if you have a long journey without any network access, then it may well run off the end. But in general, it's pretty good for going through tunnels and those sorts of things where you rejoin access. We are looking at a feature in future where you can pre-download a whole book in advance when you're, for example, on a Wi-Fi network at home, and that means that it will be available when you are, for example, on the London Underground.
Or on a plane.
Or on a plane, exactly.
So it's clearly a product that is ready to use now, but also you're working hard on the product development for the future. What kind of support is there for users at the moment who have got the product and who have useful suggestions, such as being able to download a book in advance?
So we're very keen to get feedback from users of the product, and there is actually a mechanism that you can do that through the device. You can actually save feedback and then give us some comments, and that goes actually back to the development team. That could be about a problem you're having or a new feature request or anything really, and that gives us valuable feedback from people. And as you say, we are continuously developing the product, so we're adding new features and such as, for example, the phone calls, which will come out in March, and all of those get deployed to all of the existing users. So essentially one day you turn on the device, it says there's an upgrade available, give me a minute while I upgrade myself.
it upgrades, and then the new features are immediately available. So there's no, again, there's no need to connect or bring it into a shop or do any of those things. It's all totally managed with a very simple process.
Brilliant. And presumably when you've got the download it app, it will tell you what the new features that are available are and how to access them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. There's also a full user guide and help system online, so you can say user guide, and it's got a number of articles that you can read through about all of the different features. You can also say help at any time, and it'll tell you where you are and what you're currently doing and what the options are in order to, for example, continue reading a book or, you know, jumping chapters or those sorts of things.
Does it have text and email facilities on it, or are those things that may come in the future?
Those are things that may come in the future that are requested. We've got a big list of feature requests from our current user base, and we're just prioritising them all and working through them. But you can rely on the fact that new features will be continuously added, so the product will continuously evolve from here.
Plenty of challenging questions there for Nick. Thanks to Red for grilling him for us.
So I'm wandering around the store here, and I quite literally have bumped into Ellie Southwood, chair of R&IB. Hello.
Hello.
What are you doing here?
I heard there was an exciting opportunity to see some of the work I know that the guys have been doing in the background, to actually see it for myself and to see it in action, so I couldn't resist.
Yeah, so you've come along. Have you had a chance to try R&IB in your pocket yet?
So I haven't tried it yet, but we had a great demo earlier on sort of from the stage, and it's fabulous. It's really responsive, which I was quite impressed by, you know, very responsive to different ways of saying things. So one of the things that I find really frustrating sometimes is, you know, if you say something in a slightly different way, it doesn't understand you, or, you know, you get sent somewhere you didn't want to go. So I was really impressed you can, you know, use different phrases and really responsive. So yeah, it was great.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not very, 10 being completely,
okay,
how techie are you?
Ooh, good question. Maybe a 7?
Okay.
Maybe 6 or 7, yeah. Maybe 7's a bit generous.
What phone's in your pocket?
An iPhone 6.
A 6?
Yeah.
Come on.
I know, so a little behind the times.
Yeah, that's okay, though. You use VoiceOver?
I do, yes.
Okay. And do you like that? Do you...
Yeah, it's brilliant. In fact, we were joking earlier because to get through papers for board meetings and the rest of it, I have it really fast. So when someone was saying earlier, you know, some visually impaired people listen to things on double or triple speed, I was thinking, I wonder what my 480 words a minute comes out as.
Yeah, very fast, I'd imagine. But that's the interesting thing, because there are so many people now who this device, R&IB in your pocket, is aimed at getting access to newspapers and magazines, the everyday content that everyone else can just pick up and read. But even you and I, who are fairly techie people, you know, we still want access to that information as well, and this kind of device would appeal.
Definitely. And I think what also appeals is not having to, you know, mess about with pressing the home button and moving backwards and forwards between different apps, you know, just being able to use your voice. So being able to do it while you're doing something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think you need an upgrade. You're in the right place.
I think you're right.
Ellie Southwood, good to talk to you.
Great to see you.
Now, those of you who have been listening to Tech Talk since the very beginning might remember the name Chris Lewis. He's a blind guy who used to come on and talk about the future of technology and where it's all heading. Well, I was so pleased to bump into him once again at the R&IB In Your Pocket launch, but started off by finding out what he's up to these days.
I'm running my own business now and have been for the last 5 years. So as a mainstream telecoms analyst, I've been working around a lot around the role of mobile in the future, but obviously internet and so on. Mm. And then as a blind person, I'm also fascinated by the accessibility side. So accessibility, as we've just heard today here with O2 and In Your Pocket and the R&IB, the stuff that's coming out available to people, opening up content, it's fantastic. So whether you're an experienced user of technology like I am, or whether you're a novice, I think the tools are out there for you to get access to unbelievable amounts of content.
I mean, it's really interesting, Chris, because you and I have spoken. I'm trying to think the last time we spoke, I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago. And I remember us having this conversation about the future of technology and what it actually would be, what it would mean,
yep,
for this kind of thing to be realised. And here we are. It seems we're at a point where technology is at a level that blind people can just pick up a device, speak to it, and get what they want. I mean, that's a massive move forward.
So you hear a lot of talk about artificial intelligence. Mm. And what's lovely about that now is that there's so much in the back end of the systems. So bringing together content, whether it's newspapers or internet or whatever articles. And then in the front end, the power of the technology, the power of the processes in those most small devices, or in an Amazon Echo or a Google Home or Siri, allows us to interface with it the way we want to. So it opens up so you can consume content however you want to. I think getting people over that first hurdle of it's technology, and technology always says to people, oh, that's a barrier, and it really shouldn't be. So the challenge for the RNIB and for all organisations active in this is how do we get people comfortable with accessing the technology, get it in their hands, get them used to speaking to it, because it's all there. You know, the building blocks are all there. And what we've heard today from in your pocket using a Doro device, fairly low-level device, but it's perfectly accessible, perfectly usable. You don't need the fanciest device to do it, but you've got to give people the confidence to do it. So actually, a bit of hand-holding, a bit of training will take us a long, long way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a very exciting time for sure, and I think that, you know, clearly this technology is going to move forward and further all the time, which is fantastic. Where can it go next, do you think? And I always like to ask you this question.
Well, where does it go next? I mean, so the question that I was looking at is, what's the interface that I want to use to get... So the better the speech interface gets, so the better the artificial intelligence that understands what I'm saying. Mm. So does it distinguish between my accent and your accent, for example?
Yeah.
You know, we know in early days of Alexa that we tend to... We have to modify our speech a little bit, so that just will get better and better. But the beauty of that is, that's not an accessibility issue. That's a broader technology issue. And so Amazon is spending money on that, Google is spending, Apple is spending it, everyone's spending money on that for mainstream services. So I guess what I'm saying is that gradually, what we used to think of as accessible technology is becoming mainstream technology. It's a subset of mainstream. It's no longer a separate technology line. And that's where you've got Microsoft and Apple and Google and everyone very interested in this, because other people will choose at different times to use the voice channel to communicate. Yeah. So more and more on that, what channel do I want to use? And giving you more and more access to content behind the scenes translated into the way that you want to consume it. You know, I love audio description stuff is still changing from the TV and the film world. That changes my life. Access to more and more audio books, you know, and they're being developed for mainstream usage, not just for visually impaired. So that... It's a sweet shop out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Chris, I'll let you go.
I got over, mate. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Take care.
Okay, we'll let Chris get away and perhaps take our conversation back to basics a bit. What if you don't know where to start with technology? How do you know that this device is right for you? Or what if you're in the market for a new phone or tablet and don't have a clue where to begin? Well, O2, who hosted the launch event, offers support in the form of gurus. And I met the guy who makes sure they get the information right.
So I've just wandered over here and I've just bumped into Lawrence from O2. Now, we're in the O2 store actually here in the Westfield Shopping Centre in London. And what's interesting is that you have a section here in the store called O2 Gurus. Tell us, first of all, what that is.
For sure. So O2 Gurus is O2's USP, really. It's a free service that O2 provides any customer, regardless of their network, to educate and inspire and resolve things through tech. So we're fully able to help at every step of the way for the customer journey. So a customer comes in with a phone, we transfer the data, recommend them some apps, show them how to improve their everyday experiences through technology and apps themselves. And the gurus are an amazing commodity that O2 has, because other networks try to imitate and sadly hasn't really executed as well as O2, thankfully. So it's enabled our gurus to grow into a role that's not so much store-based almost now, but they're actually rolling out into the community. So we've seen some fantastic work across the estate for gurus as a whole. More importantly, in Stores of the Future concept, which is where we are standing right now, there's a sister store in Manchester and obviously us in London, Westfield here. And what this is, a store run entirely by gurus. Instead of just a singular guru that's in a retail store with O2 across the estate, these two stores in Manchester and London have an entire team of gurus. So this enables them to go into the community. And talking from London's point of view, we work very closely with Hammersmith and Fulham Council, Alzheimer's Society, RNIB, Age UK, and various library facilities across London. And the gurus are able to go every Wednesday, Thursday and Friday to these various companies and charities and affiliates and deliver sessions around digital skills, digital inclusivity, STEM workshops, and also working with NSPCC in schools and upskilling parents around online safety and digital skills around online safety. So it's an amazing opportunity for these gurus to give back to the community and empower people and show them what tech can do to help improve their lives, which is lovely.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing a lot of work with a lot of different organisations. I think one of the key problems that a visually impaired person might have coming into a store is getting someone to understand their needs.
Sure.
And is that something you're hoping to combat with the relationship, in this case, with RNIB?
Definitely. It's been very, very, very important to work with Robin, because Robin knows a lot about...
It's Robin Spinks, of course,
Robin Spinks,
RNIB.
Robin Spinks, of course,
yeah.
Yeah, a good shout-out to Robin. He's been incredible at helping Andy Lang, another O2 colleague of mine, and myself get to grips of how we can do more for our customers. And Robin's experience and know-how is something that has blown us away. And he's helping us create a customer excellence framework. And the customer excellence framework is something that all retail employees use in order to give a good experience to customers. So we're looking at how we can adapt this framework in line with visual impaired customers, as well as some pan-disability customers as well. So he's really helping us take it to the next level of the experience that we give in stores.
Fantastic. And if someone is wanting some help, do they just come into a store? Is that the idea?
For sure. They can either go into an O2 store, and the majority of O2 stores do have a guru. The larger stores, for sure, will always have a guru. Or then go to o2.co.uk/guru and book a free appointment in any store that's local to them or nearby to them to get expert service and tips and tricks. There's also a way in that field, when you're entering what it is your visit contains, you can actually write, "I'm visually impaired," so therefore you can preface the visit with the customer, a guru knowing exactly what to do to help the said customer.
And, you know, let's say someone goes into a store and doesn't quite get the service that they expected.
Yeah.
Can they come back to the organisation and say, "Look, it didn't work for me this time, can you work on that?" I mean, I guess you want that feedback.
For sure, we'd love that feedback. And there are specific ways we can do it. I mean, the guru's role in most stores is to give back to the customer and give more to the customer and help them out. Like we talked about, the three touch points: educate, inspire, resolve. So they are there for a service to any customer, and we are wanting our customers to be vocal and feeding back to our gurus and our actual retail experience as a whole. There is a system that we use whenever you transact in retail stores to give feedback, so we'd be very, very happy to receive feedback around areas we can improve on, for sure.
And I love the sofas.
Do you know what? They may look comfortable, but I'm perched on one very precariously, and I think I've got my bottom's got a bit numb.
I'm standing next to it and thinking it looks quite comfortable to sit on, but now I'm thinking again. Lawrence, thank you so much.
Anytime, thanks so much.
Well, I've just walked over and bumped into Roger Wilson-Hines, who's here. Hi, Roger.
Hello there, Steve. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, yeah. So, RNIB in Your Pocket, launched here at the O2 store. Have you had a chance to try it out yet?
I'm an advocate and a supporter. I've had one for the last 6 months.
Super.
I'm unashamedly a pocket man, without any hesitation. It's fabulous.
What do you like most about it?
Well, it's a huge step forward in the accessibility journey. Instead of being worried by poking your finger around a little screen, captures and all the thing, and frustrating passwords and all that, it's all done for you. You say, read The Guardian, and you listen to The Guardian. You say, contact mum, and you're talking to your mum on the phone. It's all done by the provider, and that's a huge, huge step in accessibility. It's kind of real accessibility, instead of having to have lots of training and frustration and difficulties. So I'm an advocate. I love Pocket.
And what's really interesting about it, I guess, is that there are so many devices out there that actually do very similar, but they haven't managed to do it quite as well as In Your Pocket has managed as yet, because the ability to, as you say, read a book and pause that book and make a phone call and then go back to your book, that's not possible on an Amazon Echo yet.
No, it isn't, and it probably won't be, because the world in general must pay a subscription to get to content in some way or other.
Yeah.
And RNIB has negotiated copyrights for us so that they have the rights to books so we can get them without complications and so on. So it's this instant accessibility that is the secret. And I tell you what as well, Steve, there are some wonderful programs there, like Be My Eyes. There's a new one called Soundscape, which takes you out and about as you walk in. There are lots of wonderful programs, but you've got to be pretty techy to get into the phone to get to them. This way, you would just say, tap the button and say, "Be My Eyes," and you'd instantly be into the app, and you wait for somebody to ring you up and help you. The trick is, this voice input, and, you know, it's called AI, artificial intelligence search, enables us to just get straight to what we want with our voice. And that's the secret.
And that's where technology seems to be going now, which is fantastic. And this technology is available to us, which is great. Talk me through the other features, because there's now the calling features. That's obviously very appealing to you. But you mentioned RNIB's Talking Books library. You can now get Calibre on there as well. Yeah. You can get other libraries and more content coming all the time.
Yeah, slowly, slowly. We're getting Calibre. We've got agreement with Calibre. We've got agreement with Torch Trust to do Christian books. The other things we can do instantly, I can be out and about in the streets and I can say, where am I? Just my voice. Not poking about. The phone can hang around my neck like it is now on a lanyard. I can say, where am I? And it'll say, you're in St. John's Street by number 69 and the nearest intersection is, let's say, Bridge Road, whatever it is. So you know where you are all the time without hassle. And you don't need to put your white stick down or drop your dog's lead or anything. You just say it to the phone and hear.
Incredible, isn't it? Yeah. It really is. I mean, it's a great move forward.
We can create contacts on the fly. I can just say, add contact. I can say, Steve Scott and your number, and I've got your contact on the system.
Simple as that.
It's as simple. Look, that is the aim, isn't it? It's get it simple.
Yeah.
Do the trainers out of a job. I used to be a trainer. That's the object. Do the trainers out of a job so it's easy to use. I hope no trainers are listening.
Roger, thank you so much.
Great stuff, yeah. Thanks for giving us a hearing.
Well, in the true technology event style, here's one more thing. As well as launching RNIB in your pocket, a new app was also launched to make people more aware about what it's like to live with certain eye conditions. The app is simply called Eyewear. It's free and it's available on Apple and Google's app stores. It's a bit like SimSpecs for your phone. Well, I got a chance to speak to one of the people behind the new app, which was made for RNIB.
Jamie Champensley, I'm Principal Technologist at the Transport Systems Catapult.
Jamie, lovely to meet you. So here at the event today, we're quite surprised because we're not getting one launch, we're getting two. And it's fantastic. It's almost like one of those one more thing moments we used to get on other company
and another
launches.
Thing.
Yeah. So this is an interesting one. This is a new app which helps people understand, or at least gives an idea as to what it's like to have certain eye conditions.
That's right. Yeah.
And you're behind it.
Well, the team is behind it, and with
oh,
a lot
it's
of
all your idea.
Yeah,
come on.
With a lot of support from the RNIB. You know, there's no way it would be fair in any sense to take credit for all of the hard work that's gone in there through the likes of John Worsfold, Robin Spinks, Steve Tyler. You know, for technical inputs, and then from our own side, you know, we've got a number of designers and that to try and develop this immersive eye condition simulator.
So, for those who don't know what it is yet, because obviously we'll be downloading it immediately after hearing this.
Absolutely right.
What is it?
So it's a virtual reality, it's an augmented reality simulator which uses a smartphone, the smartphone camera, to overlay a number of different eye conditions, so seven of the most common low vision conditions. At three levels of severity, from early onset to intermediate and then severe. And it's downloadable on the App Store and Play Store at the moment. Yeah, so it really does try to become effectively the new electronic immersive version of SimSpecs. I think it's the best, kind of easiest description for the general public.
But unlike SimSpecs, that's a very difficult thing to get out to the community. Whereas an app, you can just download.
Absolutely.
Is that the idea, that anyone can just download this?
Absolutely. It's for personal and non-commercial use. Absolutely, it's a free app to download. We want to really get the message out there. We want to reach as many people as possible, and just help with the education, understanding, and then with the areas of empathy to kind of appreciate some of the challenges that people experience.
Which is often the problem, isn't it? People don't really understand. I mean, when you came to this project, were you in doubt as to how it all worked in terms of different sight conditions? Was this all new to you?
To be fair, I had a very kind of light understanding in terms of my own personal experiences with my family members who suffered eye conditions. But to be fair, it was the engagement with the RNIB and the experience that they had to give us a real understanding. You know, from a layman, where we went, oh, blind, oh, you can't see anything, as you know, so many people come out with. But then to actually to gain an appreciation of the diverse kind of challenges of cataracts, to retinitis pigmentosa, or diabetic retinopathy, glaucoma, and colour blindness, and, you know, those things that we take for granted, that actually We could be making a big difference to people by doing something about.
And this app is purely for making people aware of the conditions. It's not about diagnosing them.
Correct, that's right. It is literally just about gaining an appreciation and for us impacting things like design, where people can kind of appreciate that their current design has faults, you know, but then bring in the experts to try and help them make that better. So it is really about getting awareness. It's not about self-diagnosis. It doesn't have that capability. But it's a nice, simple, straightforward, easy to access kind of application at the moment.
You're from Transport Systems Catapult.
Correct, yeah.
You've been very involved with Guide Dogs and R&IB as well.
That's right.
To try and make our cities and our streets more accessible.
That's right, yeah.
Is this part of that process?
Absolutely. The agenda of the Catapult was to understand about how to make transport better, how to make transport easier, more accessible, and make it more efficient. Through the engagement I have with Steve Tyler, 3.5-4 years ago, he came up to me and said I wanted to be the first blind man in an autonomous vehicle. Mm. And that was kind of a nice sort of challenge for us to kind of to run with. And then being made aware of so many other elements of how we could be impacting transport, how we could be impacting cities. There was a much wider remit that the Catapult became aware of. And so much so that we're now spinning out a company called Theo Immersive, which is going to be taking this remit really by the horns, because there's so much application for eyewear and the utilization of these sort of tools. It goes beyond transport, it does go into digital, it does go into cities, it goes into the energy, it goes into entertainment, it goes into venues and leisure centers. You know, there's so many different areas that this can impact that there needs to be a concerted focus really from our particular kind of realm.
So we can now actually say there is an app for that.
There is indeed.
And it's called Eyewear.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's completely free.
Yes, absolutely, completely free. Yes.
And you get it on the Apple and the Android store.
Indeed, you can get it on both stores. Yeah.
Fantastic. Excellent. Jamie, thank you.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
And that's it for our special episode this week. You can find out lots more about R&IB in your pocket by calling Real Things Dedicated in Your Pocket Helpline. You can also buy it here on 0333 772 7708. That number again, 0333 772 7708, or you can email Real Thing directly at helpline@realsam.co.uk. helpline@realsam.co.uk. Normal service resumes next week, that being me, Sean and Lydia talking tech, so join us for that at the usual time and the usual place. Until next time though, thank you for listening.